Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pneumatica. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled, If There Is No God, Then Anything Is Permissible. I'm going to be reading from the book of Judges in the Old Testament. In fact, I'm going to be reading from chapter 21, verse 24. This verse reads, quote, at that time the Israelites left that place and went home to their tribes and clans, each one to his own inheritance. Verse 25 reads, in those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Or, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right. It is prophesied. Here is an instance of relativism. And if one were to do a careful reading of the book of Judges, or literally the book of the champions of the Old Testament, one would see some very interesting activity. First of all, one will note that God took care of his people. And in spite of their waywardness, in spite of their rebellion, in spite of their refusal to have a consistent walk with him. The book of Judges covers the period of from 1200 to 1050 B.C. And so this particular book covers about 300 plus years. And it was written, of course, during the time of the United Monarchy of 1000 to 961. Let me say that archaeological excavations and surface exploration have positively identified numerous biblical sites. Many show a violent overthrow in the period of 1230 to 1210 BC. Now, these sites also show that this overthrow was subsequently settled by a people with a culture considerably more primitive than the people who had been defeated. And further surface explorations reveal that in previously unsettled sites, new towns appear from almost 1220 to 1150 BC. And the new culture, interestingly enough, which is that of the ancient Israelites, is quite similar to the culture that was overthrown. So in chapter 1 of the book of Judges, one sees compromise. And the compromise, the consistent compromise by the people of God, and that they refuse to hear God. And so because they refuse to hear God, there was no way they were going to have a consistent walk with God. Then God appeared to them in chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and the one who appears to them is the pre-incarnate Christ. There are some important details in chapter 2, beginning at verse 10. I think it's necessary to read that verse. after that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, that is, the generation to whom the book of Deuteronomy, for whom the book of Deuteronomy was written, which means the second giving of the law. Now, those who were the parents of those of left Egypt died in the wilderness. And now the book of Deuteronomy was given to their children. Now that generation is gone. So these are the children of the children. And so notice the legacy. Verse 10, Judges 10. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. The Baals were nature deities, and they were worshipped by deviant sexual practices. The particular word that's used in verse 11 for evil is the word ra. And ra is a very frightening term, and it means the breaking up or ruin of all that is worthwhile in the life of an individual. So this particular word is also used in Genesis 3 for the tree of the knowledge of tov, of good, and evil, ra. So, God's people moved out from him, and they were seduced by the nature deity, and which led them away from God. Now, notice, verse 12, they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worship various gods of the peoples around them. And so, once again, we see that the indigenous religion of particular city-states that surrounded them seduced them, and they followed their practices instead of following the Lord. And so, the real foundation of God, and that is, the moral necessity of God and his role in their lives has been abandoned by his people. And interestingly enough, there's always there is some sort of worship toward God, but it is largely superficial, because the heart wants to worship that which is less than God, which is other than God. And that God is the moral foundation of life. And without God, and we get to see in nature deities that are based purely for human religion, and that which individuals believe about such as it is. Interestingly, also, the Hebrews had no word for nature. It was Yahweh who brought rain. It was Yahweh who gave crops. And also, Yahweh had no consort, no female consort, as did Baal and other nature. This is a radical departure from what they know to be right. This is a radical departure from that which is essential for them to understand. And in our own day, in our own country, there are those who are very serious about the removal of God from our psychic lives as a political fact. And so, don't be fooled by the term politics. are a religion, and politics are a religion, or is a religion that will bear no competition. It wants absolute totalitarian control over life. We see this inaugurated after the Great Flood, and human society came about once again. We see it through the Tower of Babel. This was to be, from the human viewpoint, a monistic world culture. And humanism has no adequate foundation for its own morality. And so those who shout about relativism do so in an absolute way, because as people or as individuals, we cannot be purely relative. And so we tout an absolute relativism, which is a contradiction. So it is important to see and to understand that if God, if there is no God, then anything is permissible. In other words, what is the ground upon which the appeal for moral judgment is made? And so it becomes, in our day, mere legal opinion or mere legal fiat. So where will this lead? No. Who can say what is right or what is wrong if there is no God? Up on one's foundation, what foundation? One can argue ad hominem, argumentum ad hominem from the individual, and the individual from his own pure subjectivism to say what is right or what is wrong. But in the end, there's no real foundation because God has been abandoned. There is therefore no accountability. We seek to expunge God from the subatomic world, and that cannot be done. We want to expunge God from our books, from our speech, and not understanding that when man wants to dismiss God, God in turn will absolutely hand man over to what he wants. God will sovereignly hand human beings over to their desires. And in the end, as you and I know, when individuals follow their own selfish desires, in the end, I love the biblical language because that individuals, these persons are dissolved. They waste away in their sin. So this wasting away and that is not the will of God, that individuals should be dissolved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We need to stop the decay. We need to return to God. We need to live lives that are well pleasing, so that the erosion of morality in our culture will stop, because those who want to impose upon us their view of morality do not have our best interest. It is very narcissistic. It is very destructive to human beings. God is necessary in our lives. It is important that we understand that it is necessary to reach us.